Hey gang, welcome back. We watched us. This is number 106. I'm Jeremy. Shahid is joining me. I guess well-fed and well-hydrated Shahid. Is that a fair assumption?
Yes, it is. It's it's funny how weight goes when you're done fasting, because I went from 210 to 226. Now I'm down to 217.
Wow.
And the 210 to 226 happened in like 2 days.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So I didn't even realize it, because I had like one cheat meal and I didn't think anything of it, and then just drinking water normally, and then I was like working out. I got on the scale like right before I worked out. What day was that? Either Tuesday or Wednesday, and it said 226, and I was like, I got back off and got back on again, and I was like, wow. So like, but within like a day and a half, I dropped a whole bunch of water weight. So my weight's gonna be funny up until like next week.
Well, just avoid the scale. It's all about inches, anyways, and how you feel, and how you feel.
Yeah, well, I feel fine. It just feels weird actually eating again during the daytime. So, and it's always like post Ramadan is kind of like a funny weight thing. So it's almost like when you have it. It's almost kind of like when those bodybuilders have those competitions, and as soon as it's over, they eat again and they just gain 10 pounds in like a day. And they try not to get depressed, because like, you know what's happening. But even then, it's like, I worked all this hard. It took me 3 weeks to lose 10 pounds. I gained it in 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was watching some, I think it was like one of those MTV real life things, and they were talking about the subject was a competitive bodybuilder or something, and he came in like second or third, and he was just crushed, whatever else. And he goes, well, you know, I got my cheat meal, whatever. So he had a single piece of apple pie. That was his cheat meal. And he goes, then I'm back on it because I got a photo shoot to do in 2 days. It's like, one, if I'm having a cheat meal, apple pie doesn't make the list. It don't make the list, period. I don't understand that one at all. But then now that I'm saying that, I don't know what my like cheat meal would be. Probably a bunch of Fritos scoops. God, that sounds good.
Oh, and also before we start, what else did I do? Jay-Z's new album dropped last night, so I listened to it this morning. Wow, it was surprisingly good. It's kind of an understatement. Like, it's his best album in a while, like real while. And it's funny, like, it's very personal. Like, spoiler alert, he talks about, you know, his infidelity issues with Beyonce. Also talks about his mom coming out as a lesbian. Complete with his mom, you know, talking about it. It's like the last song. It's like the album's on like 36 minutes, so it's like a quick listen to. But it's a very good listen, a very personal album, very grown up album. And then you realize that like Jay-Z's been rapping 20 plus years and still rapping. And you're not used to rappers rapping that long and still being relevant. Like, he's really one of the few that's kind of like from that era, that's, if he drops an album, people still care about and will pay money. Even though if you don't have title, you can't buy the album even if you wanted to. So
yeah, that's out of my lane. So if you're into that, there's your Shahid's 1.5 minute review.
So but no, it's funny because I'm sure there's some crossover, but no, it was funny because I saw commercials and stuff for and everything, and then it just dropped out. And the album had to have been done recently because he's making jokes about Al Sharpton taking selfies, and that happened like this week.
That was a real picture, huh?
Yes, those were real pictures. Just think about that. Like, that happened Monday or Tuesday, and he's talking about on the album that came out Thursday night. So
I mean, that's the joy of modern technology. I mean, hell, I mean, for as underproduced, in case no one figured it out, as underproduced as this is, we record, I'll do the quick edit on it, and then it's up within 10 minutes. Now, we don't make near the money Jay-Z makes. It's sneezing, basically. So that's the way to go, because he owns all his own stuff, doesn't he?
Does now.
Yeah.
So but it's freedom. Funny, even with that, like, usually albums would have like a longer, from the time they finish to the time they come out, like, turnaround time. I guess now with the whole thing is like, you don't have to worry about CDs being out first. It's like, I can just put it online, do the CDs later. It's like, I can, and if you have your own production, like, if you control the production more, control your own stuff, then you could theoretically finish on a Tuesday and be ready to shoot it, like, ready to drop it on a Thursday.
Yeah.
Before it'd be like, you know, I gotta wait 5-6 months, hope it doesn't get leaked, and yeah.
Well, that's what didn't, like I said, this is out of my lane sort of stuff, but didn't Beyonce also put out, she put out an entire album and nobody knew it was even coming?
Yeah, she put out an entire album and videos for every song.
That's right.
And nobody knew. And it was like, how did this happen? On like a random like Wednesday. So, yeah. But like anybody that's a fan of Jay-Z, like I'm a fan, but he, like, I hadn't really liked his last few albums because it seemed like he was the old guy still trying to be the cool young guy, or he was the old guy bragging about how rich he was. And it was like, it just didn't sound right. This one sounds like, I'm a grown man. I know I'm a grown man. I'm talking about grown man things. And you don't really get that too much with rap, because most of the time, by the time you're grown-ups, you're retired.
Yeah. Or should have.
Or, because it's like, because out of all the music genres, like, beside really, I think pop's the only other one, it's not a lot of old people that still get run. When it comes to rap music compared to like other genres.
Yeah, I was trying to think. I was gonna say LL Cool J, but his is in TV.
Yeah, like really, him, Snoop Dogg, and Nas, and that's really about it. Everybody else is kind of old that's dropping albums, either like, you know, real niche, or they're doing like move, like the money's in movies and TV. And musicians tell you that all the time. It's like, unless you're like top, especially these days, like with how the music industry works, it's like, unless you're top notch, it is no point. And they even say it. So like people saying, I made far more money doing like real estate or TV shows than I ever did doing music.
Yeah, especially with how some of these guys get into bad contracts. I mean, well, I don't know if that happens so much anymore, because I think most people are wise enough to avoid it. But then you still read about people getting taken, you know, by either company, agent, manager, whatever. But I mean, that's the nice thing about being, you know, that, I guess, well off. Because even with his name, if he doesn't have the money for something like this, he's not putting out an album that, you know, pretty much, not that no one knew about it, but that just comes out and there you go. That's something that a major record company would never do.
Yeah, so. Well, it's funny, like, he had not only people hyping it, like, actors and stuff with commercials hyping it, but people didn't know what it was until they realized it was an album, so, but it's like, he's Jay-Z, so he's one of the few people that can do that. It's not like, you know, Joe Blow can do that and expect to make, because it's almost like the point now where albums, like, I just released the album so people can hear about it, I make my money from tours and deals, like, because it's like, there's no money in... Unless you're really maybe 3 or 4 people, nobody really buying albums like that. Like, you know, Adele, people still buy Adele albums. People still buy, like, Drake albums, like Beyonce. Or, but they're like, you know, I'm top of the ladder type thing. Like, if you're Taylor Swift, people still buy your albums. If you're Joe Blow, it's like, I make my money from touring. And then you realize how much these people make from, like, touring and deals. It's like, forget albums. So, like, some Drake made with, like, $70-80 million last year. I'm like, wow. that's a lot of damn money. Like, I guess it's like, it's still money in music if you're the top of the food chain, but other than that, it's like, you know, getting where you fit in.
Yeah, and it's funny, like, just you saying Drake made $80 million, I'm like, what? Like, it that's totally, whenever it comes to music, I'm pretty much off the grid for popular stuff, and I just thought Drake was... Honestly, I thought Drake was kind of a joke. Because you always see him at the basketball games, whoring on whatever team. He's always doing goofy shit. But no one ever talks about his music. I mean,
yeah, no, he's extremely corny, but he's probably the most, if he's not the most popular artist, he's like top three or top four. Like, he sells more albums than Beyonce does, to put in perspective.
Damn.
And yeah, and you see how popular Beyonce is. Like Drake's corny, but people like Drake. It's almost like that Will Smith thing. Like, Drake's accessible. He's non-threatening. Everybody likes his stuff. So he's made it. He's the patron saint for corny people everywhere. Where you can be a goof, you can be a goofball and still be looked at as like being successful. And normally in rap, that did not fly. like at all. Like, if this was like 1997, if this was like the mid 90s or even like the early 2000s, nah, it's almost kind of like John Cena is probably a good example. If John Cena was as popular as The Rock is, that's Drake.
Okay, that makes sense.
So,
oh, good.
No, it's kind of like, I would use that example because it's like, you know, you see his persona, like, he's not smooth or suave. He raps about, you know, petty, corny stuff. He doesn't even rap as much as he used to because, like, a lot of his albums, like, singing and stuff. But he sells. People buy his albums. People love his music. When he goes on tour, they sell out. And he's extremely successful doing, like, I'm not a fan, but at the same time, he's good at what he does. It's almost like the same thing like John Cena, where people say, oh, you know, John Cena's not a good wrestler. I'm like, no. Yes, he is. Like, it's just about what you're... He may not be for you, because you might be like, I need work rate and how crisp your suplex is. But if the point is to care about somebody and to spend money to either cheer for him or boo for him, then John Cena is extremely successful. And John Cena's been doing it for a long... He's done it... He's been top longer than... people since like the 80s.
Yeah, well, yeah, because even Hogan had that, the run, he had the run, but then he faded out for a while, and then it wasn't until really he turned bad guy,
yeah,
that he really got back to the top. I mean, he was still, I'm sure he was still the top moneymaker way back, you know, when he went over to WCW. You know, he was good guy Hogan, and, you know, they did big business with him and Flair on pay-per-view and that, but... You know, the crowd started turning on him, but when he became a heel, oh boy. And then it was funny because after he turned back face, it was just kind of like, eh. All right, he's back to Hogan again.
Yeah, wrestling was one of those. It's funny when you look back at, I guess before we get into the show stuff, when you look back at stuff, it's kind of like your memory kind of plays tricks on you when you realize how long people were on top or how long they weren't on top. There's like, people always talk about Austin and The Rock, and I'm like, yeah, they were hot. They were probably hot as hell, but they did not have long ass runs like at top, especially Austin. Really had like 2 years. Austin had like 2 years. Like, when you really look at it, from right after he beat Bret Hart to right before The Rock got hot, he got hurt, and he came back and had like a good 6 months, and then that was it. And it's, He's gone. Like, you blink. It's almost kind of like he was almost like Biggie Smalls, except for he didn't die.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, he's still alive.
Yeah, because Notorious B.I.G. wasn't around that long. Like, he had 2 albums. He died before his second album came out. That's it. Like, and he's had stuff since, but like, he wasn't alive for it. Like, he got his first album. He was on top of the world. His second album about to come out. He dies. It was not that, like, he did not have that long-ass career. Like, even though we still talk about him 20-something years later. Like, he was not around that long.
And that's, like, I know it wasn't part of our discussion originally, but, and that's the thing, like, whenever they say, like, well, he died too young, and it was an old Doug Stanhope bit. Well, actually, it was different, but it was along the same lines that, you know, you say they died too young, but then maybe that was the perfect time to go. And because the example is always like, do you want to, like, when you see some older performer out there with somebody younger, and it's like, ugh, you used to be so cool, or you used to be so good. And it not that it doesn't exactly taint the memory, but it sure as hell doesn't help it. Like, ugh. Boy,
yeah,
I mean, it's like, oh, at least they died off.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but then the flip side is like, well, at least they're alive. And it's like, you know, the whole thing is like, and you look at, especially like young people, like, you know, it's like LL Cool J came out on Concert Rap and it's like, oh, you know, he's doing the old stuff. It's like nostalgia, but like, at least he gets to do it and he gets to go home and cash that check and his kids get to hug him. And it's like, you know, you think about that, like, at least they're not, you know, because like when Prince passed away, nobody was really listening to like any Prince new stuff, but look how many sad people, you know, around when Prince was out, and Prince didn't have a hit in what, 15 years?
Yeah.
16 years? And it like, it made no difference because it was still Prince, and Prince was still around, and you still remember his old stuff, and he could still perform. It wasn't like he was out, it's different, like, you know,
when he was just on tour. Wrestlers.
Yeah, like when you see these old wrestlers kind of like,
on,
you know, the Rock and Roll Express at the Armory and everything, and on one hand, it's, you see all this sad and stuff like that, but it's like, I bet you they'd rather be that than like Owen Hart.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. But then, yeah, like, I mean, the counter to that argument is any picture of Demolition, to where it's like, you know, not going for the sadness factor, because every time you see those two old men dressed up in that S&M gear, like a little party, it just, I feel bad for them. Like, I don't know. It's those old guys that never planned their lives out.
Yeah, but who you feel more bad for, them or Hawk?
I don't know. Hawk seemed to have a pretty awesome life up until he died. So it's like, yeah, if you're, I mean, you gotta consider what you're going for. Do you want quality or quantity? And that guy was riding high, quite literally, up until that was just too much for him. So,
because I know, I guess the whole thing is like, go out on top. It's like, no, that sounds cool for the fans. That don't sound cool for the surroundings. I bet you Guerrero's family would rather he be like Al Snow right now than like, oh, I remember Eddie and he went out on top. It's like, I don't help them. Like, whoop-de-doo, you got his shirt. That's great. Every 5 years, we can cry about how great he was. meanwhile, my husband is never coming home. So, yeah, it's kind of like, it's more of like your perspective. Like, you look at it from a fan's perspective, and it's like, you know, I want to have these good memories. But it's like, that's human nature. It just shows how selfish human nature is. Like, man, I'm glad he went out when he went out, so I don't have to remember him when he was bad.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it's all basically about, our feelings, like, to hell with him and his surrounding. And his surrounding, like, yeah, I know he got a family that misses him and yada, 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 but at least I have to see him fall off.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's why I refuse to go to, like, these, they've got, I think it's World Wrestling All-Stars, and they come to, like, the Spartanburg Auditorium, and it's, like, Rock and Roll Express, the Midnight Express, all three of them, you know, Dennis, Stan, and Bobby, and I think Jim Cornette's with them. And then it's like Scott Steiner's on. I don't know if he's still going to do it because he's in TNA right now, which, not watching TNA anymore. Who knew? So he may not be on, but it's like, I don't want to see all these old guys. Like, the preservation of the memory I had, to me, is far more important than them making a living. So, yeah. But anyways, you mentioned The Rock. I forgot. I actually started watching Moana finally.
Mm-hmm.
That is a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
Like, the story is what it is. But, yeah, that's... Then she initially tries getting off the island in the beginning. She falls underwater, and the water is, like, surrounding her. I was like, damn, this is gorgeous. So I'm basically at the part where the coconut pirates... have attacked him after he tries to murder her by letting her drown in the ocean, which I thought was pretty funny.
After first trying to, like, bury her in the cave.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you realize about the movie, like, yeah, The Rock's kind of a dick.
Mm-hmm.
And just, yeah, and like, all the singing and stuff, and the charisma kind of hides the fact that he tried to murder this woman twice.
Yeah.
This little girl twice.
He left her for dead. Because he even said, I'm a demigod, so I've been here for thousands of years. And then he just go up and buries her in a cave. It's like, peace out. I mean, hopefully you'll get smaller so you can crawl through the wedge. But the one part I really liked in that, like, because you don't see this. He throws overboard, she comes back, keeps coming back, and then I can't remember what the catalyst was, but I think he did it again. She came back again. He goes, "I'm out," and just jumps in the water and was going to swim back to the island. And then, of course, no, the water puts him back in the boat. That cracked me up just immediately. Like, I don't want to deal with this. I'd rather go be alone than deal with this girl. That was pretty damn funny, and not something you see every day in a Disney movie. But it did have the Disney trope, though. Some sort of family member dying in the very beginning. So,
hey, people don't like family. I guess
Disney sure doesn't. I guess old lady action figures don't sell. So
yeah, it's like old lady or old man. It's funny when I didn't even think about that trope until somebody pointed out. I was like, yeah, Disney don't like. I guess Disney comics don't like parents because parents tend to end badly in both of those universes.
Yeah, it's like parents would get in the way because, I mean, and then the new continuity, Superman's parents are both dead. But they were both alive in the comics for a while. And then they killed off his dad. And then they went to the new 52, which they thankfully got rid of. But I think they still remain dead. But, yeah, because I think Wonder Woman's mom is alive. But when she's queen of the Amazons, it's like, well, can't really relate to that. So that's pretty easy to get away from. But, yeah. I think everybody else's parents are long gone. I'm actually trying to think of a superhero who has parents. I mean, I guess Spider-Man, but that's just Aunt May.
Yeah, that don't count. Yeah. The Flash whole thing is like, well, his mom died, his dad was locked up.
Yeah, like Wally, the original Wally West had parents, but I think they died too.
I'm trying to think. X-Men, some of them, because even then it's like, you know, Cyclops' mom died, and now I think his dad died. Well, Cyclops is dead in the comics too at this point, but it's like, you know, yeah, it's like I can't think of one offhand, even like TV universe, like comic universe or movie universe, where it's like they're alive and their parents are still alive and well, unless it's like they're a child of superheroes, like the Fantastic Four having children. So they count, but it's only because they're superheroes themselves. Like, that's the only cheat around. Beyond that, like, if you're a superhero and your parents aren't, then one of your parents is probably a goner, and the other parent probably was responsible.
Yeah. What's funny, this is a good way to get into this. I think we skipped this last week about Fox potentially rebooting the Fantastic Four. I don't remember. Did we talk about that at all?
No,
think so.
I don't know. Was it after we did our show? Before
I think it was before. We just didn't. I think we just didn't get to it, which is fine. I mean, it with the added knowledge that Fox is coming out with more superhero movies. Let me pull it up. They've actually positioned a bunch of dates now for. All the way through 2020, I believe. And Deadpool, the Phoenix Saga, and New Mutants are all next year.
Yeah.
Which we were talking about, the Phoenix thing. They haven't even started shooting Deadpool yet.
All I've seen is pictures. So,
yeah.
They haven't even finished, like, casting, I think. So, yeah. They cast the main roles, but all you've seen is like, you know, it's Ryan Reynolds in front of Xavier Manson. Here's Josh Brolin doing a mold on his face for Cable. It's like, and that's been like fairly recent.
Yeah, and yeah, the molds of Cable's the one that got me thinking. Like, they're still doing what I think is preliminary testing for the look, or maybe that was just, you know, and also I guess. To back it up, maybe this is old. These are old pictures. They're just now putting them out there to try and, you know, I don't want to say build hype, but, you know, to get the word out that, yeah, we're filming now, or just something along those lines. It's funny, though, to go off on the original subject. I wasn't sure about Josh Brolin at first, but then the way they're doing the makeup, and he's gotten himself in some pretty tight shape, he may be a lot better than expected. At least the look. Because, I mean, you're not going to get that hulking mass that Cable is in the comics anyways.
They might. I mean, because you can always CGI it up. And it's like, I wonder how much CGI they'll use, considering, like, look how they did with Colossus, where they took voice of one guy, the face, a body of another guy, and then, like, a computer to have him look like that. And, yeah. it worked, because it's like, before it's like, you know, you can have a tall guy and put, like, gray paint on him, but it's just going to be a tall guy that does CrossFit. Using a computer, you can make him look as the comics have, and he looked huge, but it fit. It never seemed like, you know, out of place, which is hilarious when you think of, like, a character like that. It's like it fit the universe that was in, and it wasn't distracting, and it could have easily been distracting. And considering they've had practice doing that, I wonder how much they'll go that route with Cable, because Cable's whole thing is, like, you don't realize it until, I think somebody pointed out, like, he's huge. Mm-hmm. Like, big. You don't really think of him like a big character, besides, like, the fact that Rob Liefeld, you know, drew him that way. But it's like, he's almost like juggernaut size with a gun, the way a lot of artists, you know, draw him. I don't care how many push-ups Josh Brolin get, he's only going to get a certain size of his age. So if you want him to be, like, you know, comic book size big, you're going to have to bust out, you know, the MacBook Pro, so to speak.
Here we go. All right. But so that was just a little quick aside that, you know, they maybe they've got all the stuff going. It'd be funny if that picture at Xavier's School for the Gifted was actually taken as part of the movie. Like, they were actually filming something. So, So, the dates they have sectioned off. Let's see. All right. So, there's three movies planned for 2018. This is all Fox movies, guys. New Mutants, Deadpool 2, and X-Men Dark Phoenix. All right. So, then, in 2019, they have June 7th and November 22nd, March 3rd, June 26th, October 2nd, and 2020, and March 5th of 2021. They haven't released what any of the movies are going to be, though. So I'm guessing one's going to be Venom.
Yeah, they
still pushing forward with that thing for some reason.
I mean, well, because it's kind of like, it's R-rated, it's Tom Hardy. Yeah. So why not? Like, that one I could kind of see. But it's almost like, you know, they... Part of it is, like, we want to do our own thing, as far as, like, we trying to force Marvel's issue so they can buy us out. I don't know, because it's like they announced the one with Black Cat and Silvermane, and then, like, Amy Pascal, Silver Sable,
okay.
Silver whatever, yeah, it's called Silver. And then it's like Amy Pascal said it's going to be part of the Marvel Universe, and Kevin Feige's like, oh, no, it's not. And all this stuff. And it's like, it just seems like, just enjoy making the money you're going to make with these Spider-Man movies and leave well enough alone. Like, how are you going to have two comic universes that's happening at the same time, and they're, like, separate but not separate from each other?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Fox stuff's work because Fox is in their own universe. Imagine, like, if Fox did movies and it's like, well, Wolverine shows up in the Avengers, but that doesn't count from the stuff he does with X-Men movies. Like, and even then, that would be more like, you know, you could get away with that to a certain extent. But, like, you having Spider-Man villains without Spider-Man makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like, at all. Because then it's the whole question. It's almost like... The only reason Gotham gets away with that is because that show's batshit crazy and it's a TV show. But, you know, like having us, it'd be like having, you know, X-Men universe, like with X-Men villains, and the X-Men were never there. It's like, you know, we're going to have a story about Magneto and him and Apocalypse of, like, private eyes or some garbage like that. And it's like, you know, oh, well, the X-Men are on a mission, so nobody's going to stop them. So who's going to stop them? We're calling the government. like what are you doing? So Sony, I would say Sony needs to leave well enough alone, but you always ask how these movie studios are so stupid, and the answer is they don't know any better, even though they should know better.
Yeah, I'm wondering if, like, Sony regretted the deal, like the working partnership with Marvel, and giving them Spider-Man basically, and that's the only reason they're trying to get this Venom thing off the ground. Because now they're like, oh crap, we just gave away the cash cow. Now remember,
it's not even. I mean, I hear you. It's not even a giving away. It's like they're sharing it, but it's like you did it for a reason, and you could. It's not like you can't use. It's like you get the best of both worlds. So what do you? You know, you get money from it, and they get to do it better than you could. And you know, by itself, you would think that should be enough, but you might be onto something. Like, well, you know, what have I done? Like, it's almost kind of like that crackhead parent gives their child away to like a foster home, and now they go to the Ivy League school, and now you just been out of rehab 2 days, and you want to, you know, you want to get them back. It's like, don't forget how you got here in the first place. Like, you know, maybe slow down for a little bit. When you get your stuff together, then, you know, give a call. Because there's been a lot of rumors saying, like, Sony's looking to, you know, sell their film division.
I didn't hear about that. Wow.
Yeah. So it's kind of like part of people thinking, well, maybe they were doing this to kind of, like, see if they could get more money, like, Marvel buy them back, like, buy them out or buy their stuff back. It's like, you know, if we, even though it's like, Marvel can wait. That's the whole thing that Sony may not realize. It's like, they can play the long game and be just fine. It's like, you know, if we get it back, that's great. But especially now, it's like, they have no problem, like, loaning and using it. And especially we hear Feige saying, like, you know, the next phase is going to be built basically around Spider-Man. So you basically gave, so it's kind of like, you let them borrow the best thing that they need. It can wait you out a lot better than you can, like, yeah, keep bombing, making movies. It's kind of like, you know, as much as I like Tom Hardy, it's a hard ass. You have to have a great ass story to sell a Venom movie with no Spider-Man in it.
Yeah,
it's
and, like, even and Tom Hardy's not exactly a box office draw.
Yeah, like, Tom Hardy's a great actor and great stuff, but people don't go movies to see just Tom Hardy by himself. It's like, people go to movies and enjoy Tom Hardy, and that's a difference. And it's like, you know, Venom is almost like, he was this cool villain in the 90s, but unless you are a hard comic reader, that's the 90s. This is almost like Gambit. Like, some stuff just seems weird when you move it from the 90s. Everything that was cool in the 90s is not necessarily cool now. And no. Him fighting Carnage, which is even a goofier villain than Venom was, is like, who is this for? Because it's kind of like, if you're a hardcore comic fan, you're going to have an eye roll anyway, because, like, what are you doing? You know, and then it's like, you the type to go on a website and it's like, this seems kind of off-putting. If you're not, it's like, okay, I got these Spider-Man characters and there's no Spider-Man. So why would I go see this? Like, I know it's R-rated and it's a horror and blah, 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 but like, that only works if you tell the story right. Not just being R-rated enough is not going to make a difference.
Yeah, yeah, the rating doesn't matter at all. The story sucks. The story sucks. And then on top of that, just what you said, I can't imagine, like, who's the villain going to be? It can't be Carnage.
They said it's going to be Carnage.
That's too confusing.
That's why I say Carnage for a reason. It's like, because they can't use Spider-Man. And I want to use that as a breaking news, because we're talking about stuff from the 90s. A movie with Wesley Snipes, Ann Hetch, and Seth Rollins. I would see that movie.
Armed Response. Oh, boy. The plot to save... What? A crack team of armed soldiers infiltrate a facility controlled by advanced artificial intelligence and... Oh, boy. So I guess he's not on the way back up yet.
I mean, you bills gotta be paid. Like, even...
Yeah, especially when they're the government's bills.
I mean, people still work, and it's like... Even when you do, because it's like, even I see like big actors and actresses that pop up in these small ass movies, and I'm like, what are they doing? And it's not even like necessarily like, you know, like the usual suspects, like, you know, Bruce Willis and Robert De Niro. I see Kate Beckinsale pop up every now and then some small ass movie, and it's like, she don't need the money or the work. It's like, sometimes they get bored. They just want to do stuff. Like, even Keanu Reeves pops up in little things. And he has no reason to, especially at this point. He never had to, because he could live off the Matrix money for the rest of his life. kind of like John Wick stuff, and he'd pop up in like little small things. So some people just like working, and it's not always like, you know, I gotta work to pay off my drug dealer type thing, like Val Kilmer's, like, or like, I just like doing stuff. He can't keep waiting for them to remake Blade, like, yeah. You know, I got bills to pay.
Well, I'm guessing, is this going to be a straight to Blu-ray? I mean, it's got a wrestler in it, so.
Speaking, it's funny you brought that up. I was watching the Marine 5.
Which is an astonishing thing that there's 5 of those, by the way. But
And watching it, I can see why I got that far. Because, yeah, The Miz is much, much better playing like the everyday man that used to be a Marine than John Cena was. It's hilarious. Like, I'm 2/3 through the movie. One, it's a hard R. Like, it's a very violent ass movie. Like, surprisingly. And I know it's like WWE film, so it's just funny seeing how violent it is. And then a biker gang with the social outcast and Naomi will never not be fun to me.
I mean, and this is Bo Dallas before he grew, like, his Bray Wyatt beard and all that, too.
Yeah.
So he's just got the Bo Dallas stash, right?
Bo Dallas look, but it's funny, they look like a biker gang. Like, especially, what's his name, Curtis Axel?
Yeah, the beard, yeah.
Yeah, and then they have Heath with the short haircut. Like, the typecast works, it fits. Even though Curtis Axel and Naomi being a couple is hilarious on so many, like, yeah, I don't know what type of multinational biker gang this is, where, because normally that would not. I've seen enough Sons of Anarchy to know that normally that does not fly, but this is a different thing. Oh, and the funniest thing before we go back, talk certain things, you know how they have how they establish the hero doing the heroic thing. So Maurice is in this movie, and shows up because it's like she's in a car accident, and she's, you know, she's trapped underneath, like, a cinder block fell in the car. Her legs are trapped and, like, mangled all to hell. Miz is, like, working as an EMT, I guess, like, his first week on the job because he left. So, you know, he needs to save her for the rest of the cinder block's fall. They're like, don't do it. You're going to risk yourself and yada, yada, yada. He's there being brave. He pulls out the last minute before, you know, the blocks fall in the car. And you think, okay, this is a good thing. You know, he saves his wife in real life and yada, yada. And you think it might be going to something. No, she dies from shock and blood loss like 30 seconds later.
Well, they made a big deal out of her being in the movie.
Yeah, she's in the beginning. He saves her from crushed rocks and she dies from shock.
Wow.
Because her legs are like mangled, like almost like they would have had to amputate her legs anyway. And it's like, oh, so it's going to be that type of movie. And it's like, you know, he has a partner, like a woman EMT partner, and you're thinking maybe something will happen from there. And she's in the movie halfway. She gets shot in the head. Like, she dies, too. It's like, yeah, people, like, he stabs Naomi in the heart, kills her.
Jesus. Like, okay, yeah, I gave up on the Marine after the first one. Like, almost. I watched the whole thing, but I actually had given up on it. So there was no way I've seen the other ones. Were all of them that violent? I mean,
I saw the first one, and the first one wasn't that violent. Like, people died, but it wasn't like, you know, out the blue. It was like regular movie death.
Yeah.
So
they've ramped this one up then.
Yeah, like, this is the third one that Miz has been in. I know the last one, I think Summer Rae was in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing the commercials for that. But yeah, this was I haven't finished watching it, but I was surprisingly enjoying it. You know, for what it was.
You know what's an enjoyable WWE movie is The Condemned, the one with Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It ain't that good. It really gets really stupid at the end. But for what it is, that's an enjoyable ass movie.
Yeah.
That people dogged on that thing badly, and I was like, well,
and I don't get why. I'm like,
you know why? I mean,
no, but even then, it's like, I'm surprised it didn't do better. Was my thing, because it's not like it's a great movie, but it's a lot better than the Marine was.
Oh yeah,
and it's better than that horror movie with Kane. But it just died on the damn vine, and I'm like, yeah, I was shocked by that one. They're not doing this well. I was shocked about at least like doing like somewhat decent, like, you know, make his money back, not be like a bomb, yeah. Like it was.
Oh well, wait a minute. We got far off on that one. To go back to the Fox stuff though, one of these movies, who knows when, and this is what we did not talk about last week, we forgot, was that Fox is going to attempt, supposedly, rumored, to reboot the Fantastic Four yet again, but this time focus on the kids and make it a family-friendly or kid-friendly Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and I was like, I purposely was letting the silence just sit there, like, why?
They can't leave. Well, they just can't give those rights up.
Marvel Disney just doesn't want to pay for those. And it was funny because I was reading something else before I saw the dates being noticed that Tom Brevoort, is that how you say his name? For Marvel was saying that the only reason Fantastic Four was canceled was due to sales. So it was quickly pointed out that book was like it was in the top 30 when it got canceled, and that there are other books underneath that sold worse, that are still selling worse than that book did.
Yeah, it's
so
the
it's
same
like,
thing.
Just stop, you know.
But even then, it's kind of like they used the same excuse why they canceled that book, Black Panther and the Crew, saying it would sell like it was only out for two books, and it was still selling better than a lot of stuff that hasn't been canceled that's still out. Because it's like, so there's a lot of stuff that doesn't pass the smell test. Mm-hmm. And whenever you say sell, like, you know, people have the internet, right? They can look up those numbers.
Yeah.
So if you lying, and you especially dealing with that audience, that nerd obsessed audience, don't lie to them, because they're gonna bring up the receipts and make you look stupid. So just, but it's like, you can't say the reason, like, well, we don't own the rights, so it's not a priority, and they aren't the X-Men, so we don't care that much.
Well, hell, even, I mean, around the same time is when they started turning, like, the X-Men, just breaking all that stuff up, and, you know, make Cyclops a bad guy, killed him, killed off Xavier, did all sorts of stuff with the X-Men to basically rip those books apart, and now they're half-assedly, which seems to be Marvel's MO for all their stuff right now, trying to put it all back together, but it's even more confusing now than it was before. But to not have, like, even in, I think it was Secret Wars, they killed off Fantastic Four, apparently, except for the Thing and the Human Torch. And, you know, Mr. Fantastic, Reed and Sue haven't been seen since. And now we get this stuff about sales, and then we get Fox trying to make another one to focus on the kids. And it's like, all right, so you're going to take a movie franchise that never really got off the ground. I mean, I know they made another one. You know, they made a sequel to the original, and then they made whatever that was.
But you know what's hilarious, though? For all the snark that the first two did, those movies did pretty well at the box office. And Fox would murder for those numbers. It's funny, like, Fox would murder for those numbers now. And, for you know, those first two was like, oh, it's fluff and everything. Like, yeah, they were fluff, and they were bad movies, but, like, I watched them, like, they're at least watchable. They're like corny comic movies, not this whole I make this movie and I might not have a career after level comic movie like the last one was. So yeah, let them have it. It's kind of like, you know, why you keep trying? Like, it's not the whole kids thing, it's not the art thing, it's like you don't know what you're doing. The Fantastic Four, you would think it'd be simple, but, like, people keep missing the point with the Fantastic Four. Like, this whole thing is like, you know, they're a family that happen to have superpowers. And it's not the whole, you know, part of, like, you know, the angst because, like, Ben Grimm struggling to deal with that. But it's, like, beyond that, like, it's a simple thing. They're, first and foremost, they're a family. Second most, they're public superheroes that are well known. Reed is super smart. Susan is a powerful woman. You know, Johnny Storm's a playboy. And Ben's got that tragic Hulk backstory. it sells itself, but for whatever reason, it's like, oh, I don't know how to do it. And I was like, we're going to turn to Muppet Babies. Let's talk about the children. It's like, who's going to see, like, you got to understand, when you make stories and when they make these movies, they have to figure out who are you making this for and who do you expect to see this? And it's like, I'm going to tell a story of the Fantastic Four, but I'm going to use the children of the Fantastic Four. Who knows about the children of Fantastic Four that are comic fans that really want to see this? And why would they trust you? Like, you, this is the Spider-Man, you know, people talk about the Spider-Man reboot. This would be reboot part three for a group that does not have the love that Spider-Man has and does not have the goodwill that Spider-Man built up. And you're going to have a whole new, it's like, if you, imagine like if Marvel did a reboot with Spider-Man and it's talking about Aunt May adopting somebody. You know, or like Peter Parker, like, you know, not even like babysitting Miles Morales, like some other random kid is like, okay, it's Spider Child or some nonsense like that. Like, what, why would I, like, I'm a comic fan, but not like a big time comic fan. And I like comic movies and I'm not like obsessed with details. But they could, why would I see something like that? The kids of the Fantastic Four, like, is it a Pixar movie? Is Pixar doing this? Maybe I see it. Like, Fox? Like, is it a animated movie? Like, do I really want to see obnoxious little kids with wonky FX effects? And, oh, that Valeria, what a scamp. Like, huh? Like, this is not my, it's not my demographic. I don't have kids, so I wouldn't bring a child to this. Why would kids care about this? They don't know anything about these characters like that. So, yeah, they, no, I would say don't try it.
My thing is also, if Fox, you know, it's every 7 years they got to do something with it, I guess. And my thing is, you can do every 7 years, but like the fan fervor isn't going to go down for the characters, but that doesn't mean they're going to go see the movies. So it's almost, it almost would be, if you're in Fox's shoes, like, we don't know what to do with this. Let's just get some money from Marvel for it and just sell back the rights now. Instead of making yet another bad one, or yet another bad one, and then having that value for those characters and that all that stuff that comes with it, that diminished to where Marvel's like, we don't really need this stuff, so you can just sit on it and keep losing money. I mean, unless they start making direct-to-Blu-ray or something. Which, maybe that's not in the I guess they can do whatever they want with it, but, because, I mean, they don't even include the Fantastic Four characters. Well, they purposely pulled them all out of marketing. They're not in any of the cartoon series. There's nothing there, to go back to your point about the kids. You don't see the adults, let alone the kids in anything. So, that would be a tremendously hard sell. I mean, unless it's something like Spy Kids or something goofy like that, but I think it was supposed to be the kids and then the Thing and Johnny Storm. They're getting rid of Reed and Sue Storm.
Then, so, so you're getting rid of the parents?
Yeah.
So Uncle Johnny and Uncle Ben can take them to get ice cream, and Dr. Doom kidnaps one of them, and hijinks, like, what? Yeah. What the... I don't mind telling different stories with comic characters, because it's kind of like, especially how we've seen with Logan and, like, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, it's, I think that's one of the big things, like, people complain about, like, they're not necessarily tired of superhero movies, like, tired of superhero movies that tell the same story and let's do different stuff. And I'm like, whatever, it's only 5 or 6 a year, and it's way more worse rom-coms that we had. No one says, like, are we tired of rom-coms, but that's neither here nor there. So the different story part and taking characters and putting them like a different universe or a different type of story is fine if the story makes sense. But you got to care about the people. And you doing this just reeks of desperation. It's like, unless you got somebody that's like a top-notch director. Yeah, because it's like Fox has some goodwill back because of like Deadpool and Logan. But when it comes to Fantastic Four, it's like, that's the last, I never went to the movie theater to see that movie. And I see almost every comic movie. So that should tell you something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember contemplating going to see that because I wanted to see how bad it was. And also, I'm a firm believer, whenever someone piles on something like that, it's usually just people piling on. It's not that bad. It is that bad. I was dumbfounded how bad this movie was.
Yeah, and like I'm trying to think, since Iron Man 1 came out, how many superhero movies have I not seen in the theater? And I think it's like 3. The second Hulk movie, I didn't see. Green Lantern, I didn't see. And Fantastic Four.
I've seen all of Ball but Fantastic Four.
Yeah, like I've seen them later, like because I saw Green Lantern when it came on, like HBO, and like, ugh. Yeah, Incredible Hulk was actually like it wasn't bad. It was just okay. It's funny where if it was a different movie studio, okay would work, but it being Marvel is like it just seems like they don't really make movies. They don't really make movies like that in Iron Man 2 anymore, where it's like okay with a whole lot of flaws. Like, and it's funny you look back, like Marvel was then. So it's funny watching that movie now. Like it's serviceable, but serviceable don't cut it anymore. But no, Fantastic Four was like, and you know what makes it worse? It wasn't the fact that it was just bad. It was the fact that I think if the studio left it alone, it'd been better. Because it's like it's okay and interesting to a certain, like it's flawed in the beginning, but it's like you can tell the story they're trying to tell, and then you can see where some studio suit just jumped in, because it's like it's the halfway point the movie changes and it just falls off a damn cliff and just hits every stupid tree on the way down. Like it's just horrible and bland, and it makes no, and it's not even Fantastic Four that I wish was used better. It's Dr. Doom I wish that was used better.
Wait, you didn't like him being a hacker blogger with psychokinesis powers? And
you know, all the jokes that people made about Julian McMahon being Dr. Doom in the first two is like, boy, he was Marlon.
He nailed it.
He was Marlon Brando compared to what they did. And it's funny where you can't even blame the cast, because the cast is like up and coming. Like you got Kate Mara and Michael B. Jordan and Miles Teller and the guy that was in Snowpiercer, that was Chris Evans' friend. I can't think of his name. He played Ben Grimm. It's like you had
Jamie Bell.
Yeah, you had a good cast, and it was just like at least they left unscathed. Like it didn't mess up with their careers. It's one of those whole things like, it's the movie smart, not their fault, so you guys get a pass. But yeah, I just see that between that and I think people slow down. Like people learn the wrong lessons from Marvel. It's like, yeah, Marvel had this universe and everything like that, but even then it took a while for it to get situated. Like do enough good movies and then get there. Like take step A and then go to step B. Don't try to jump to step E, stumble on A and B, and then get C right and try to jump to step M, like DC's doing, where it's kind of like, you know, Wonder Woman is this great thing, so now we're going to jump back in like Wonder Woman was our first movie. It's like, nah, one at a time. Like, slow it down, get it right, and when you knock out like 3 in a row where it's like people like our movies and they're making money, then you can start puffing your chest out. But don't be building these universes that people don't know about or care about just because Marvel's doing it and you want to be like Marvel. Like, no. They're the exception. They're not the rule. And even like Fox is kind of like, they've been doing it for almost the same amount of time that Marvel movies been doing it, and they just like been getting it right. And even then it's like, you know, 2 steps forward, a step and a half back. So, and that's with like their X-Men movies. Their Fantastic Four movies haven't had that step forward yet. So this, maybe it's just like, that's why I was trying to hold avoid this story, because it's like, it's just, it's depressing. Like, I know why they're doing it, because of money and hubris. Mm-hmm. But I'm under no obligation to see. I don't want to see it. I feel the same way I felt about Inhumans. Like, if it's people that like it, fine. Because I got some friends, like, they're looking forward to seeing it, and they're like, I don't know what the big deal is. And I'm like, okay, I'm watching the trailer, and 3 things stood out, because we were talking about it. One, how much Maximus, like the guy from Game of Thrones, talks.
Uh-huh.
He's just talking and talking and talking and just running his mouth when we gotta do this and we've been held back for too long and we need to shine and yada, yada, yada. I'm like, shut up. Like, I got to the point where I just want him to and it's funny where he has to talk because the main character can't speak because that's his power. Apparently, you don't think women can talk because I didn't hear anything from them. And so I'm just hearing him run his mouth. Two, how, okay, we talked about all the costumes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the special effects being wonky. I have an issue with you holding Medusa down. Her main power is her hair. And she's just there and they holding her arms and she can't do anything. Unless it's something where it leads to she escapes using her hair and they want to save that for the show, that seems kind of, like, dumb. That's almost like, you know, you got you stand in front of Cyclops and you got his arms held down and you're not stopping his powers, like, oh, what you going to do now? And you're standing right in front of him.
Yeah, see, something like that, I don't really care because it's like, well, there could be something explained. Because remember, every superhero show has some sort of power dampener. Just all of a sudden, hey, this will dampen all the powers. Like, what?
Yeah, I'd hope so. So I'm hoping that part. And, like, cause the special effects, it seemed like...
That was my thing.
Yeah, like, even the teleportation, it seems like it's low rent. And I know you say it's ABC, but I'm like, SHIELD makes the most out of their money.
Mm-hmm.
And Inhumans is getting an IMAX release for its first two episodes. Like, SHIELD didn't get that. No, none of the CW shows didn't get in. Like, they rolling the red carpet off of this damn show. And, like, okay. Like, so, like, we know why. It's like, somebody really likes this show is putting their money where their mouth is and not the money where the show should be. And then the third is, like, Black Bolt.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's like, the costume is like, you know, we talk about the whole mask thing. It's like, the mask is cool, it's iconic, but you don't want the mask because you need to see his face. And because apparently you don't trust him to emote with a mask on, because everybody can't. It just appreciates how great Kane was at his job for so long, where he had a mask, and how much emotion he showed with just a mask that did not move, just by, like, you know, tilting his head or in a certain way. But then it's like, he's got this whole look. He just seems constipated the whole time.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
They give you a little bit of his power when he grunts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it blows, like, the car over, whatever. And you're like, oh, okay. But yeah, I couldn't think of the word I was looking for. And you said constipated. And I immediately went, that's it. It just... That's why he has to wear a mask. That's why he has to look cool. Because he can't do anything except just stand around. And maybe if he had the mask on, it would actually help. But
yeah, it probably would. Because it's like, you have to... If you're getting an actor who can't speak, and he has to emote through his face, make sure he can emote through his face. Either give him the direction to do it, make sure he can do it. Like, from a wrestling thing, that was one of William Regal, like, was a master of that. Like, he knew how to emote, and it was kind of like exaggerated, but in a not too wrestling thing has to be exaggerated because it's like you got to play to everybody. You got to make sure the person that's in the cheap seats can see you. So it's hard to be super subtle when it's like you got to do that. But even then, it's like they got wrestlers who can emote without saying a word. You can't find an actor, like, especially he's the main character, and that's like the. I don't get on like, I'm not a professional casting director. You know, I'm not in the business and stuff. And I know it's like certain things that, you know, how certain things may work that we don't know about. But certain things is also common sense. It's like, you know, if emote is important, get somebody that can emote. That seems real simple. You know, like, it's not that complicated. And you wonder what goes in the hole. Is it like, we want a certain guy to look a certain way, or we're about the acting part later. And it's like, it's too many shows that have bombed and too many things that have bombed to take that route. Like, we can just coach them up. And you think people will learn a lesson by this point to stop doing that.
Yeah. It's funny. I don't really know much about the Inhumans. I think we talked about a different show. You know, I know Black Bolt can't talk, and I know Lockjaw's a giant dog. Medusa's hair. That's it? Like, I don't... What's the other girl's name? Alicia? No. What the hell's the other girl's name?
Crystal.
Yeah. Hers?
She controls the elements, more or less, and she used to be married or date on Quicksilver.
Okay, and I know she was, like, Johnny Storm's girlfriend in the comics for a while, too, which caused problems, but I don't... I'm guessing, like, for people like me who are at least familiar with him, it's okay. But for you're not familiar with him, and you see a bunch of people that's running around on a low-budget set. Like, if you're talking about Inhumans, they have their own base somewhere in space. Don't you think that base would look regal? I mean, it would look ridiculously amazing, you'd think. If you're surviving on some sort of ship, no, I'm sorry, not surviving, but, you know, you have your own culture, you're a community up there, that it wouldn't look like a set left over from some other shows. That was, you said cheap, and I'm like, yeah, actually, everything's gray, and then all of a sudden you take these people who apparently have the same wardrobe. I saw somebody said, did they get all the extras from the 100? And I was like, that's pretty accurate, actually. They look just like the people on the 100. So it's like this great society of people, and they're just all in, like, maybe this will all get explained, but that's not what I thought the Inhumans would be. You know, he's the king, for God's sake.
Yeah, like, the humans have a very dramatic and extra backstory, because kind of like they are Kree creations that were on Earth, and now they're, like, sometimes they're in the moon, sometimes, like, their city can move and float. So it's been a different place, and the whole thing has been, like, you know, where's our home? Should we go back home to Earth? Should we stay here? Are we isolationists? Are we not? And then, like, you know, it's been the conflict between Black Bolt and his brother and how that flies in. And even before the whole, we're going to replace the X-Men by having them murder mutants nonsense that popped up recently. Like, the Inhumans were always kind of, like, weird. Like, a lot of stuff going on, and they were, like, you know, because, like, Medusa was part of Fantastic Four, Crystal dated Johnny Storm, you know, you see Lockjaw's there with, you know, the new Miss Marvel. Like, they've always, like, put in with, like, other groups and other stuff, because it's been, like, jack of all trade, but never they're pushing their own story, because their story is just, like, weird. And it never seemed, and it was funny where at first it was going to be a movie, and that never seemed like it made any sense. And then it's, like, TV show, and they getting this big push, and it's like, take that. They could have just took that money and put it in the S.H.I.E.L.D., to be perfectly honest.
And maybe, I mean, they built up the Inhumans on S.H.I.E.L.D. for so long, why not just make it part of that?
And then even then, it's like, they're going to do their story, and they're saying, well, we're not sure we're going to cross over with S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay, I like, now that makes no sense. They're on the same network. S.H.I.E.L.D. did the legwork to build up the Inhumans in the first place. You don't have the excuse of saying, like, it's a Netflix thing or a movies thing, and you're just going to be like, oh, well, I don't know. Huh? Like, what's really going on? Like, it's that.
It seems like this is just somebody's passion project. They want to get it on there, and that's it.
We know who that somebody is. Yeah. Like, I can't wait till he retires, because I feel like it's going to be, like, I think that's probably the only thing that's holding back why you don't see Marvel TV, Marvel Netflix, and Marvel movies crossing over. It's not, they say it's logistics and stuff. It's like, no. They can't stand him. Feige can't stand him, and Perlmutter can't stand Feige. And it's this whole where they can both be successful doing their own thing. They don't have any reason to help each other out. Because remember, Marvel movie people used to show up on S.H.I.E.L.D. when it first came out. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it wasn't a big character, but, like, you know, it was a crossover. And, you know,
Samuel Jackson was on.
Samuel Jackson was on. What's her name? The girl.
Yeah. She played Scythe.
Yeah. She was on there. she was on there a few episodes. Maria Hill was on there for an episode. Like, you know, like, what's his face? Guy from Deadwood and Sin City.
Oh, Powers Booth.
Powers Booth. He was in, he was in Winter Soldier, and then he showed up for S.H.I.E.L.D. for, like, a episode block. Like, he was there for, like, a while. So, and it was the same character. And it's like, you could do it if you want. It's like, they just can't get along. And it seemed to be more because Perlmutter was a dick from all the stories you've heard. Like, he seemed like to be a rich, horrible human being who's afraid of cameras. Because you know how you Google people and to see how they look like? You Google him, you see like one picture, it's the same picture.
I've never actually done that, but that's crazy.
It's just
good for him.
And I'm like, I know Prince used to go on, like, he put my music on YouTube, but it's like, who is going there scrubbing his photo? Like, I know Reclusive was one thing, but he take it to an extreme. Like, I have never seen that before, where it's like, it's just one picture. So, but anyway, it's like, that's that. And it's like, whatever. Yeah. If people like it, God bless them. I'm not going to IMAX theater to check it out.
Not a chance.
Yeah. But if it works, great. I'm not somebody that like wishes stuff to fail 90% of the time. But I'm indifferent to the Inhumans.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. I don't want to see it fail. I mean, if it turns out to be good, hey, I mean, I'm big enough to admit it. Yeah, I was wrong. It would be an uphill battle right now. But, and it's also a little disheartening because when S.H.I.E.L.D. had Ghost Rider on this year, it was kind of like, oh, alright, that's pretty different. And that version of Ghost Rider was really cool. And mm-hmm. It worked really well. So when they say the Inhumans, you're like, alright. And then you see it, it's like, oh. Well, that goodwill that, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. basically created with the Ghost Rider thing just kind of got thrown out the window. But, I don't know. And the reason I brought up Lockjaw was I guess I don't know what I expected a giant bulldog with a... Well, apparently they just have the tuning fork is just on a forehead tattoo now. But was he always a dog? Like, not always a dog, but was he a dog or was he...
He's always been a dog. Always a dog. People complaining saying that he doesn't look exaggerated enough. Now, like in the comics, he looks like extremely weird because he has a huge ass head, and like that's even bigger than his big ass body. But it looks adorable because it's like so exact. Now it just looks like a big dog.
Yeah.
It's funny where they're saying the dog doesn't look alien enough, and they got a point. But it's like
that's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it used to look like a alien. Like it was a dog that didn't look like a normal dog. Even like a normal dog that just happened to be bigger. Like no, it looked weird. Like imagine. You saw an elephant, and the elephant head with the size of a Tyrannosaurus.
Okay.
It would throw you off because it's like the proportions do not seem human or Earth-like. The proportions are off, and that's always been Lockjaw thing. Now it's like, oh, it's a big dog, a real fat dog, but not like something's weird because that dog is that damn big, but not because of how it's shaped. And the fact that we're two grown-ass men talking about proportions of a damn dog on this day is just... I didn't think my life would turn out this way, but
yeah,
here we are.
Yeah, and it's just funny, though, because I'm thinking, like, the people who don't know the Inhumans are going to see this, and all of a sudden, a giant dog saves him, and you're like, wait, what? And then this giant dog is trying to get you to play with a ball at the end of the preview. I'm like, I'm guessing that was fan service, but at the same time, it's kind of like, I don't know what the, like, common person watching was going to think of that. You just see it, you're like, what? Like, wait, what? So, yeah, it's going to be an uphill battle, I think, for them. But it's on Fridays, right? Just like S.H.I.E.L.D. is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I don't know, maybe they did that on purpose to give it some sort of excuse in case it bombs. You know, right or wrong, that could be what's used. I mean, if they're saying they're canceling Fantastic Four for sales, when that clearly wasn't the case, I can see them making a case that Inhumans, you know, were hurt because of the time slot.
Yeah, but they've been, it's like, whatever. Like, yeah. Time slot matters, but at the same time, it's like, time slot can save you, where it's like, you have less expectations because you're not expected to, like, if I give you a certain time slot, that rating means more. It's like, okay, because your expectations are lower.
Yeah.
And unless your budget is out the roof, it's And now, like, with streaming and stuff and everything, like, unless you're, like, a top-notch show, and we've talked about this before, like, unless you're, like, Walking Dead, Game of Thrones level, it don't really matter, to be honest. Like, you'll watch it, if you don't watch it then, and talk about it on Twitter, you'll watch it when it comes on. Like, even, like, Stars, for example, they put their show on streaming before it comes on TV. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll do it the day of, because it's like, we don't care how you, as long as you watch it and it works, because it's like, I noticed that at first, people were talking about Power, and like, it comes on Sunday at 8, and they're talking about it like 11 in the morning. I'm like, oh no, Stars put this stuff up early. It's like, that makes sense, because like, I think I've watched 2 episodes of American Gods when it came on the right time. The rest of the time, I watched it Sunday. If I was off work, I watched it early. If I wasn't, I watched it while I was at work, and it was like, I watched it Sunday, it didn't matter what time, and it worked. It's like, they have the idea where, we don't care when you watch our show, as long as you watch our show. Like, HBO, even with Game of Thrones, is like, they know people bootleg it, they don't care. It's like, enough people watch it, enough people talk about it, where we're fine. So, that's not really a big deal for certain shows like that. So, I would hope, in this case, kind of like, they don't use that excuse for, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything. Because, like, especially you got it Friday night, like, 10 o'clock. It's like, I mean, you take what you, you take, this is not the 80s where, like, back in the day, like, Saturday night used to be a TV thing when people used to watch the Golden Girls and T27.
That whole lineup.
I used to do that. And I'm like, it just seems insane now. Like, Saturday from, like, 8 to 10 was must-see TV on us. Like, who's staying in a house at Saturday night to watch TV? It's like, I guess little kids and old people, because they're not going anywhere. But that used to be a thing. And now it's like, really, it's the big days are what, Sunday and Thursday? I don't know if Thursday's still a big day.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Thursday is for ABC, because, you know, that's all this Shonda Rhimes showing, like Grey's Anatomy. But like, Sunday and Thursday. And whenever you got a big show. Like, you know, and it's funny, like, Sunday wasn't always the big day thing, but now I don't know who started it, if it was, like, HBO or AMC. It's like, you know, because you look at now, like, the big shows, like, it's, you know, Breaking Bad and Mad Men and The Walking Dead and stuff, and then, like, HBO, their shows were, like, Sunday. Like, Sunday became the big day, like, because Saturday was, like, when the movie came, like, whenever they had a new movie come out, it debuted on a Saturday. And when they had big show, it'd be on Sundays.
Well, it's funny. You mentioned, like, people not caring about, like, what day. I was wondering why they moved Preacher to Mondays. And then it occurred to me, Game of Thrones is starting late. So I'm guessing they don't want Preacher going up against Game of Thrones.
Yeah. And another thing I noticed is, Sunday is their big day. Monday is their second biggest day.
Yeah, because that's Better Call, Saul on.
Better Call Saul comes on Mondays. And, like, I don't know. Did Fear the Walking Dead come on Sundays or Mondays?
It's Sundays. Same time as the regular one.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, Sunday is like, Sunday and Monday were their two big days. And, like, Monday was their big day 1A. And it's funny where Monday competition is like cable. Because, and like, it's a lot of stuff come on Monday, especially like, because I remember, like, I was running out of DVR space, because it was a time when Gotham, Supergirl, Raw, and like, I had like 5 shows recording, like, within, at the same time, like, that Sunday time, where I had to pick and choose. Like, it's funny where you look at Raw, like, their main competition, like, cable-wise, is like Love and Hip Hop. Which is hilarious if you think about that. Like, if Raw's not number one, it's because Love and Hip Hop's number one. They're talking about cable shows. Unless when it's not sports season, like, that's the God honest truth. And, I mean, people watch those shows. Like, that's the thing. So, it's kind of like getting where you fit in. And it's funny now you got all these shows, all these different times. It's like, I think S.H.I.E.L.D. moving helps S.H.I.E.L.D. because there's nothing else coming on Friday night.
Yeah.
Not that late. Compared to, like, because once the CW shows come back, and it's like, yeah, you gotta kind of pick and choose what you watching, even not counting, like, sports games or wrestling or other stuff. It's like, that's why binging becomes important, because you almost have to, because you don't have time to watch everything.
No, you don't. And that's, thank God for apps and for, never mind. But I say something. Probably should have. But no, thank God for apps. I mean, I was going to compare it to the WWE Network. That's not the same thing. But you know, even with wrestling, all the stuff they've got out there now that you can, you know, use apps for and whatever else. It's just there's so much. There's so many channels that are producing so much content that you kind of want to see. And other times you're like, I don't know, I'll just wait. And then you blow through it. Like, I still haven't seen this season of Into the Badlands. I'm just waiting for that to come on Netflix.
Yeah.
Because it don't have a DVR, and the on-demand thing's messed up. So.
And it's going to get even worse, because, like, the first season was 6 episodes, mm-hmm. and then the second season was 10, and then the next one is going to be, like, 16 or 17.
Wow.
Yeah.
I liked that short season. That was nice.
I think it was, like,
not too bad.
Yeah, I think it was the fact is, like, we're going to give you a run because we don't know if it's going to be successful. And then you don't get increased episodes unless you're successful.
Yeah, because that show's got to have a pretty decent budget to it, too.
And they moved from New Orleans to Ireland, because season one, they filmed in New Orleans.
Oh.
Season two, they filmed in Ireland. Because they said, you know, we can do more stuff for, like, the same amount of money, because it's like it's only so many settings in New Orleans, and it's still like that you can do, because
yeah.
It's like it's a lot of, like, season two is a lot of different venues and stuff. I had no idea where they film. I just knew reading about it on it, like, and so, and especially now I always wonder where you have seasons where it's like 10 to 12 episodes, and then you still have the old school shows where they do 22, especially when it come, like, I want to say the CW shows where Legends Tomorrow works because it's like it's a shorter season and it doesn't drag itself out. And I always wonder, would the other shows be better pressed if they were like 12 episode seasons?
Yes. I don't think we ever got into this topic before, but yes. Because you saw how Flash will just go off. Like, they'll be in the middle of the main story, and then they go off the rails for a show, come back to it for a few, then go off the rails again. And it's like, yeah. It would work much better if you go from here to here, not go around in a loop, come back.
Yeah.
You know,
I think
like
it only
wasters.
Works. Yeah, I think S.H.I.E.L.D. handles it the best because they basically broke their season up into like three sections. It's like the first section dealt with this story, the second section dealt this story, the third one talks with this one, and we wrap up the first two. Mm-hmm. And it helped because I think by having a longer season, you got these gaps. Like, imagine you were watching Game of Thrones, and they had the first 5 episodes, and then you had, like, a 2-month gap.
Yeah.
Like, people would be pissed. People mad now they had to wait till July. Like, Darlene's like, shouldn't Game of Thrones be back now? Like, no, they had to film later because, you know, all that talk about winter's coming. Well, winter's here now, so they had to plan accordingly. And they don't have a snow-making machine yet. So, it's like, and we always complain about it having only 10 episodes, but like 10, you care about the 10. They don't have filler episodes, and
yeah.
After those 10, you waiting in the wings for the other one. It's sometimes where it's like, especially when you binging, and it's like, I got how many more to watch? Like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, it's tough watching. Like, I'm trying to catch up on shows, and it's tough when it's like 10 episodes a season. It's 22, and it's like 4 or 5 seasons in, and the show's an hour. It's like, that's rough sledding.
Yeah, well, the nice thing is with those network shows, they're usually about 40 minutes. But, I mean, that's still a long time, mind you, but it's at least you're not sitting there the full hour for some of them. And it's funny, we'll wrap up on this one. I'm not done with it, like I told you before. I'm enjoying Glow. I thought the first few episodes took a little bit to get going, but once it did, I've been enjoying it. And like I said, I got to the part where she discovers she needs to have a heel and all that stuff, so that was good. One thing I'm really enjoying, the half-hour episodes. It is, here's what we're getting accomplished here. Done. End of show. There's no meandering on the outside, and I guess some of the outlier characters don't get a lot to do, but that's just like wrestling. The main people get the bulk of the stuff, and it works. Like, it, the the one girl trying to fuck the pizza guy. Like, that to me, I'm like, I don't know why this is going on, but okay, it's a nice aside, I guess.
Oh, it pays off.
Okay.
That's all I'll say. It pays off in a big way.
Yeah, so I mean, I'll finish it this weekend, but I really, like, the first episode went by, and I was like, wow, that was fast. And it looked, and it was only 30 minutes. I was like, oh, that's kind of refreshing. Because everything has to be an hour. And maybe they weren't sure how well this was going to be received, and that's it. But even if they do come back, I'd still say keep them at a half hour.
Yeah.
So.
And I'll say a couple things. One, it captures the 80s great, where it's not great. And it's like, I remember that time. And it's like, it's fun. Like, I was a kid, but I remember how the 80s was. I remember Glow. I remember watching Glow when I was a kid. And it's this funny thing about it now. And it the way it treats pro wrestling is so refreshing. Like, it seriously respects, like, pro wrestling. And it catches, like, the nuances and the little things, like, a lot better than... Because it makes me wonder, like, there hasn't been a lot of TV shows and movies about wrestling. Mm-hmm. And I always wonder why. I don't know if it's the whole... People don't take it serious. Like, either it's like they play it for a joke, or they play it the depressing way, like the rest, like, you know, how it ruins the life. Like, it's never been like a straightforward, like, Rocky one. And that's, like, told, like, straightforward. And I don't know if it's like the nature, because it's like, it's a sport, but it's not like a real sport, but it's like, it's predetermined. So, how can you do it? And I guess it's this whole weird vibe where it's like, how can you tell this story? That's basically telling. It's almost like doing a movie about a play.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the way they do. Yeah, and I think it's kind of like people don't know how to do it. And this one, like, you know, talk about the nuances and everything, how stuff's booked and stuff, and you know how hard it is, like, to learn the moves and like what's this about? Because, like, you know, what's wrestling and how would you describe it? And then I laugh. I don't know if you got the part where they're talking about like gimmicks and storylines, and like they wanted to have these long, elaborate stuff is like
yes, there was like a post-apocalyptic world,
and it's
they were all trying to go to find the last men for the privilege of breeding with them.
Yeah, and it's like no, we ain't doing that. Like, you telling this broad story for this, like, this is the story you tell. This is all you need. And it's funny where I think about that, like, comparing, like, I look at it now, like, kind of how Lucha Underground is compared to like regular wrestling, and like, you know, they both had their pluses and minuses. And the wrestlers themselves, like, they are, especially what's her face, Kong, she's a good actress. Like, I didn't even know that was her at first. Like, it took me a while, like, wait. Because it's like, she was smaller than she normally was, and she didn't have, like, elaborate makeup and the braids and stuff. So it just, like, it snuck up on, like, wow, she's natural. She didn't feel like she was trying. And, like, the wrestlers themselves, like, you know, like when Johnny Mundo was the first episode, yes. Like, he fits right in the 80s. Like, he seemed like he was born the wrong time, because it's like he fit a lot better in the 80s than he did when he was in WWE, like the long hair and the look and the training stuff. And then the fact that, you know, he was just there and gone. Allison Brie talked about how Chavo Guerrero was, like, training him and stuff.
Yeah. Well, they said apparently Mondo Guerrero is the one that trained him to begin with. The original Glow wrestlers, Mondo Guerrero actually trained them.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice.
Yeah, and then, like I like the stories they're telling. I like the fact where it's basically telling, like, the main character is, like, an unlikable person. Okay. You're like, you know, like, it's basically, like, normally you think about that story, be like, you know, the plucky underdog, learning the ropes and, you know, finding redemption, stuff like that. It's like, she's a dick.
Yeah, and it's funny because Allison Brie always plays those, like, cute, plucky characters. And in this, she's just kind of a piece of shit. I mean, banging her best friend's husband. And I love the fact how it was a mistake, but yet she goes back to do it again. And probably would have kept doing it.
And it's funny where I didn't realize it. I'm like, because you see when she's having sex with a dude, it's like, well, who's this? Because you see her with her friend, and you see her sex with a guy, and it's like, you know, what's going on? And then you realize what happened. It's like, yeah, that colors the whole series, where you see the blonde actress, you know, big busting everything, All American hero. It's like you would think she'd be the unlikable one because, like,
what I saw from the previews. Yeah.
But then it's like, no, she got a reason to feel the way she feels because her best friend's screwing her husband, and they trying to blame, like, make her at fault. And it's like they're playing with tropes and emotions in a nice way. And it's done well done. Like, I'll wait for you to finish. Like, it pays off very well at the end. Like, yeah. Extremely well.
Well, I think they're making a second season of it. I thought I read where they were going to make another one.
More than likely they will, because I doubt it costs that much. And it's been getting a lot of critical acclaim. And although I did laugh at some on Twitter say they liked the season, they wish the ring work was a little better. I like, you damn dummy.
Wow.
Like, we talking about work rate for a TV. Like, you want Alison Brie to be Sasha? They're new. Of course the work rate will be sketchy. That's the point of the damn show.
Yeah, well, also, the original, like, everyone that I've seen has kind of glamorized GLOW. GLOW,
I don't know,
wasn't
why.
Good.
No, I mean, it was not.
It was, yeah, there were a bunch of chicks fighting. That was it. It wasn't pretty. Like, one girl, like, the biggest angle I remember from GLOW, well, as I think it was, like, the All-American girl broke her arm in the ring. Because she was just, you know, she wasn't that good in the ring and just got sloppy and it broke. So they turned that into a real angle. That's what I remember. Not, you know, not that they were these great workers ahead of their time and this, like,
no,
this isn't actually how it was. But then I also thought this was supposed to be a docudrama. And once I realized, oh, none of this stuff's real. They're just using the name and the ideas of it. I'm like, all right, then it's much easier to get behind. So
yeah, because it's like most people remember GLOW because, like, one, they were kids, and then two, they remember when Big Bad Mama showed up on Married with Children.
Yes.
So it's like, and you know how I talk about nostalgia, like, people have real rosy ideas, like, stuff was a lot better in their day than it is now. I'm like, no, it was not. Like, some stuff was better. GLOW was trash. And GLOW was meant to be trash, like, even by 80s standards. Like, it was not, like, even when I was a little kid and I watched, like, WWF and NWA, when I watched GLOW, I did not think it was anywhere close. I thought it was, like, not even, like, wrestling. Like, I thought it was, like, it's funny, I wasn't even a smart fan back then because who was a little kid?
Yeah.
And I always thought that was fake.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
I always
yeah.
thought. I always thought, like, even when I thought WWF was real, I knew, like, GLOW is like, this is a TV show. Like, this makes no damn sense. Like, the TV show would just happen to have wrestling. But it was, like, cute and fine. Not this whole, is a paragon and work rate or the original women's revolution. Like, I hope no knuckleheads are making those arguments. Like, no, it's not.
Yeah, like, and, I didn't expect you to say that. Like, people were complaining about, and I was like, uh-oh. Like, too much nudity, not enough, whatever. That the work rate wasn't good, like, just stunned. Like, why would you think a bunch of actresses and actors are suddenly going to be good? Which, by the way, to point out, the gimmick of Marc Maron not being able to get in and out of the ring successfully, that hasn't gotten old at all. And especially after seeing LeVar Ball on Raw, just like Biff getting in the ring, it shows you how difficult that is.
Yeah, and then you appreciate, like, John. People talk about, like, John Cena not being an athlete. He's never messed up sliding in the ring.
Yeah, ask Test and how that well against camp. But.
Yeah, it's like Vince McMahon blew out both quads walking to the ring and getting inside the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So that should tell, like, I don't know what that says about Vince, but that should tell you it's kind of like stuff we take for granted. Like, oh, it looks simple. Like, it ain't that damn simple. It's like, it's not something that you normally do as a human. Like, your human body normally doesn't do that.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have the coordination, if you don't have, like, natural coordination, you're going to look like an idiot. Like, so I always laugh when I hear, and it's always the same type of, like, they be questioning, like, stuff like, oh, that, how can this girl can't run the ropes? I want to see you run the ropes. Like, running, I used to be that whole thing, because I used to make crack jokes about, like, Kelly and everything like that. Like, why these women run the ropes a funny way. Now I realize, like, those are like metal, and you have to run them to bounce off, knowing it hurt, and have momentum to move forward and have it look like quote unquote real and feel natural. And you wouldn't have practiced doing that ever in your life until you've done that.
Yep.
So why would you be like, it's kind of like, just because, you know, Steve Austin can run them in them sleep, I'm sure he can do that when he was 14 years old.
Yeah.
Or he could do that, like, you know, year one. Like, it makes me appreciate how hard it is to be a professional wrestler. That's the one thing that show does.
Yeah.
It's like, makes you appreciate, like, it's hard being a pro wrestler. Contrary to popular belief.
So, but on that note, guys, we're going to get out of here. I'll finish it up this week. We can review it. We can talk a little bit about Preacher next week. I hope the third's as good as the first two. And then I think Baby Driver came out this week, right?
Yeah, we're going to see that tomorrow.
They're probably going to see that this weekend because that looks pretty fun. So
yeah, and so then Spider-Man comes out next week.
Is that next week? Oh, God,
it's
weird having a holiday on a Tuesday. It just throws you off. So that's what. Is it come out the 5th or the 7th?
I think it's 6th,
probably. Probably 6 at like 8 o'clock or something. But all right. So, yeah. So if we see Spider-Man in time, we'll do that one. So, but yeah. So thanks for listening. Social media, Stunt Granny. Podcast, Stunt Granny. And everything else. So I'll let Shahid take us out. And you guys take care.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and leave the Fantastic Four babies alone. We are out.